Last week, we heard from Sister Guadalupe as she bravely shared her story of her hope and transformation. Thank you, Sister. We hope that her talk inspired you to think about your own mask that you wear to cover up your true identity. This week's speaker is Jeremy Eckler. Jeremy Eckler is a 1997 Pius graduate who is married to a Pius graduate. He is also the father of five children. He was the principal at Cathedral of the Risen Christ from 2014 to 2020, and then represented Nebraska Catholic Schools with the legislature and governor on behalf of the state's three bishops. Prior to this time, he coached collegiate women's soccer and softball in Chicago, and he also taught and coached at Pius. Starting in June, Jeremy will be the new CAO of Pius High School. We're excited to welcome today, and know he will be a great addition to the Pius family next year. Please help us welcome Jeremy Eckler.
Thank you for having me. This is a real honor. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. It's a bit of an introduction time here. I heard you like pictures and slides, so. So the theme of this talk is going to be this quote from Fulton Sheen. Sometimes the only way the good Lord can get into a heart, some hearts, is to break them. That's my story, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I want to talk to you a little bit about my family and my pious journey. So this is my family. We've got five kids. Charlotte is a freshman here. Marion will be a freshman next year. A lot of you know these folks because of your cathedral ties or sports and performing arts. I was a principal at the Cathedral of the Risen Christ from 2014 to 2020. Love the Eagles, Eagle for life for sure. And Luke did a good job talking about my work at the Catholic Conference and working with the legislature. My job there in the legislature was essentially to go to elected officials, go to the governor, go to officials, and protect our schools and then empower our schools to make sure that they had everything in their power to bring Jesus, to bring Christ to students. I have done a lot of coaching. Here at Pius, I coach softball, and I want to congratulate the girls and Coach Sharf on their run to state last year. That was awesome to watch. I also coach women's soccer. It's a banner I'm very proud of up there. I coached here from 02 to 07, and watching the girls at state last year was an absolute honor for me, and I want to congratulate them and tell everybody to be at Aldrich Field at 11 o'clock Saturday to watch them beat Southwest. Make sure you're there. I also coached Legion Baseball and was coached by Don McKee, Mr. McKee, and Mr. Sharf. So I've got a lot of influences, right? I'm obviously a Pius grad. And this is a picture of us on Aldrich Field before the fall kickoff. I'm the only guy in green here. And you're going to recognize a lot of faces on that thing. Actually, you may be related to some of these folks. Uncles. Pat Hodge is on there. We're going to talk about some of those folks today. We had just won the Legion Championship, and we're awarded the trophy at the fall kickoff. But that picture makes me really proud because there's a legacy there that I want to talk about today. Let's start in prayer together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to read a prayer that's very dear to me, and I'm going to come back to it later. Oh my God, behold your sick child before you. Heed our special request, that which we feel is most important. May you, my Lord, entrust to our hearts these words. The health of the soul, too, is vital. Lord, may your will be done. If you choose our healing, may we be cured. If you choose another blessing, may we bear our cross with love. I also pray to you for all who intercede for us. Purify our hearts that we may worthily convey your holy mercy. Protect your child, relieve our pain, that your will may be done, and that your presence and love may be revealed. Grant us the grace to bear our cross with courage. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. That's a prayer for healing. I'm going to circle back to that. It's very hard for me to speak behind a podium. I am a big mover, so I'm going to be doing a lot of this while I present today. So the name of the talk is Jesus Loves the Broken Heart. And on Monday of this week, St. Patrick's Day, I went to the funeral for my former Pius baseball teammate in Omaha. His name is Jamie, and Jamie is in the front row, second from the left, right there. He's got glasses on, if you can see. He's between the two guys. Well, yeah, he's second from the left on the bottom row. We had teammates come in from over 500 miles away for Jamie's funeral, And that funeral left me very somber and clear-minded. At that point, I had not decided what I was going to talk to you about. But on the drive home, I considered that it's time for me to say something useful. I've heard a lot of witness stories before, and they can sometimes be, and that's never happened at Pius, but in some other spaces, they can be a little self-indulgent. I thought, what could I give you to take with you? And I don't want to be too dark, but this is Lent, and today is Friday, and I want to talk to you about the tomb, because you're all going to enter it if you have not been in the tomb already. And in particular, because simply because of age and the way nature works, many of you are going to enter that tomb after you graduate Pius in your 20s. I experienced the tomb in a very real way over the course of just 4 years after I left Pius. I have given bits and pieces of this story to people over the years, but never in full, so this is just for you, my 1,000 closest friends today. So here's who I'm going to talk to today. I'm talking to people who feel broken. I'm talking to people who feel shame. I'm talking to people who hide their wounds behind their masks, sister. Great talk, sister. Who hide it behind their egos. I'm talking to people who have lost someone they love. I'm talking to people who have seen their families destroyed by divorce. I'm talking to everybody here, and I know that. Because as a principal for 6 years, as an educator for 25 years, everyone I've met is broken. And as a human being, everyone I've met is broken. We just pretend like we aren't. So let's begin. Again, when I was at Pius, we had no campus ministry. I'd never heard of Lectio Divina. I'd never been prayed over. 5-10 minutes ago, I was prayed over. That never happened to me before. Not here at Pius. I was theologized. I was catechized. But the Lord was a vending machine. The cliche was true. And for the most part, good stuff came out the chute. Until it didn't. So, I'm going to put some pictures up here. We're going to do some imaginative time here. This woman was my grandmother, and she is a very large woman who grew up on a farm in David City right next to the DeWhisplers. She killed chickens with her bare hands. She pushed plows. She was an incredible person for me as an influence. I want you to just take a moment. I'm going to give you 3 seconds, and I want you to think about someone, your grandmother or a grandmother, Lee figure in your life. This is my grandfather. He was a farmer in David City, married to the last picture, and he left school in the 7th grade to start his farm. You have a grandfather or an elderly person in your life that you look up to, take a moment. This is my family. When I was about 19 or 20, I want you to take a minute to think about your family, whatever they look like. One more grandma. If you have 2 grandmas in your life, say a prayer for both of them right now. And the guy on the right, there's a yellow number under him, is my best friend in high school. After I left Pius, all of these people, all of these situations fell apart. After a long battle with cancer, grandma died. Grandpa died shortly thereafter of a broken heart. My parents divorced. Being the victim of divorce never leaves you. It's an incredible burden for the rest of your life. This grandma died of Parkinson's. If you have anyone in your life with Parkinson's, watching them die of Parkinson's almost exactly in sync with John Paul II. And John died tragically and suddenly. My heart wasn't just broken at this point in my life, it was shattered. The Lord had taken my family, my supports, my friends, If you know the story of St. John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II, he also experienced horrible loss at a young age, but that's where the comparison between he and I ends. You see, young men, and in particular I'm talking to the young men here, we're all tempted by three lies. We're always telling ourselves we're not good enough, go prove ourselves. We're always told nobody really cares about you, they're using you. And we're always told that we're messes, and the messes around us are our fault. And when things go really bad, we believe those things. I sank into those things. And anyone who's gone through trauma, if you've lost someone, you've been through trauma. If you've lost your family, you've been through trauma. You'll realize this. When you go through trauma, you can find purpose in that suffering. But you must choose this. I did not, because I had no tools, and I was way too deep down in despair. Or you can push it all down. This is what happens when you do nothing. I'm not a person who does nothing, so this wasn't me. Or you can become completely self-reliant. You nurture your ego to protect your wounds. This one will choose you, and it chose me 100%. So, to review, you can turn to Jesus, you can hide from Jesus, or you can try to be Jesus. I pretended I was Jesus. I pretended I was superhuman, like sisters' masks, in a way. I fed all of my addictive appetites. I became immersed in building up my image. I became incredibly violent and volatile. I objectified everyone and everything. Everything was a tool for me to not feel pain. And because my life no longer had purpose, I used people to gratify myself. At this point in my life, if you live like this, you don't have many people left around you. Most people don't want to hang out with someone like this. So I had one loyal friend, and I'd lost everyone else in my life. My grandparents, my family, my father moved away, half a country away. And I woke up one morning to an email from my high school sweetheart, had not seen her in years, and she was checking up on me. Her email was filled with concern, questions about my life, a desire to reconnect. So of course, as a self-consumed person, when someone reached out to love me, I thought, she's crazy because she's trying to fix me. I'm ashamed because I'm not worthy of her. Or if I reply to her, I will hurt her. She could die. Everyone else has. But I did reply. It was probably like, sure, say when. And we did meet, and we did see each other for the first time in years. I'm going to fast forward a while here. But true story, I proposed to my wife under that basketball hoop 10 years after our first date at Pius. So she asked me to turn about. 10 years later, under the same hoop where we had our first dance, I proposed to her. It's gone pretty well since then. Right after we married, we left to start our life in Chicago. All we had was a Honda, a blow-up mattress, and a TV. We didn't even have jobs. I just had to get away from my broken heart. I had to leave it in Lincoln. I'm sure you know how that went. It came with me, and I quickly climbed, because of my narcissism, the college coaching ranks. I was named a collegiate coach in Chicago within a year of arrival to the city. I began giving clinics to the Chicago White Sox, Cubs, and their players. I began to travel the country and work softball camps. I began to be recruited by certain schools, in particular powerhouse SEC school, in the midst of their national title run. And my ego and arrogance reached new heights. I was really superhuman. Who needed Jesus? I was married to the love of my life. I was living in the dream in the greatest city in America. The teams I coached won. The scoreboard validated everything I did. The players I coached were all Americans. I was barely 30. I had coaching opportunities wherever I wanted. Death, loss, despair were behind me. Then, two pieces of news hit me. My wife and I found out we were pregnant with our first daughter, first child. I have no idea where she is, but she's in the gym somewhere. And after a routine visit to the doctor, shortly thereafter, I was diagnosed with a rare cancer. Everyone here has been impacted by cancer. For those of you who've been in the room and gotten that news, you've really been impacted by it. It changes everything. There's many miracles around that. I've given this part of the talk before and had students ask me if I survived cancer. The answer is yes, I survived the cancer, in case that was rattling around your head. When I was told I had cancer, I said the first real prayer I had in a very long time, I said, Lord, you took nearly all the people I love the most, and now you want to take my life. You're even punishing my family, the family I'm trying to start. I'm out of options. Just have it all. Just take my life. Take it all. Little did I know, have it all included taking my broken heart. For those who know the story of St. Augustine, this will sound familiar and maybe eerie, but I did not read the Confessions. I did not read the story of St. Augustine until years after this happened. But as I was laying in bed, I heard take and read, and I rolled over, and on our magazine rack, there was a single book propped open. The book was about Marian apparitions, and the page it was open to was the prayer we started with today. I do not know where the book came from. We do not know how it got there. We do not know why it's propped open like that. That is a prayer I pray daily now. A few days later, I went to my office and met with the coaching staff, and one of the coaches threw a newspaper on my desk and said, you're Catholic, right? You should check this out. Apparently, Mary is showing up at this place in Wisconsin. You should go ask for a miracle, and he laughed. I'm ashamed to admit this, but I did go to Champion, Wisconsin, not to see the mother, but because I was so angry at the father. I was going to see the mother so I could complain about the father. I was going to tell Mary what a bad deal I was getting. Go fix the father already. When we arrived, there were hundreds of people there because the media coverage was really big at that time in Champion, Wisconsin. This is the chapel. But suddenly I found myself alone in the sanctuary. It'd be like this room clearing out suddenly. And as I began to kneel, I didn't even get my knees to the pad. I heard a voice say, you are so blessed. My son loves your broken heart. Let him in. I knew it was Mary as clear as I can hear this microphone. You are so blessed. My son loves your broken heart. Let him in. And in that moment, I did. I did let Jesus in. I finally took the step I'd been missing. I chose to let him in. He was always waiting, but I had to choose him. He immediately went to work on my heart. And a lot of you are guarding your hearts. You don't realize the veil between your healing and your pain is like this thin. He just wants in. He immediately went to work on my heart. He presented people to help me with my heart. I abandoned my life to him. I literally felt it on the drive home. Today, I make this choice 100 times a day. It's still a fight against my ego. The demons are real. They come after it. But Fulton Sheen was right. The only way the good Lord can enter some hearts is allow them to break. I also want to echo Sister's comments. A great place to let that veil come down is the confessional. And I also chose to allow people to love me and to help me heal. And I want to say these words to you. Jesus loves your broken heart. It is a gift that you are not using yet because it takes two people. You've got to let him in. Let him work in that space. And also choose to allow people who love you to help you heal. About to wrap up. Which brings me back to Jamie's funeral on Monday. Thousands of hearts, literally, came together to heal at Jamie's funeral. The grace of that funeral for those of us who was there was noting that it was a pious reunion. There were literally hundreds of bolts sharing their broken hearts in the middle of an Omaha parish. By doing that, we shared our hearts with Jesus, and he loves us for us, and he loves Jamie for it, and he loves his family. And I have the mic now. I don't know if he's here, but very rarely do you get the opportunity to sort of embarrass Coach Scharf. But Coach Scharf made a comment, and he said, I just want to see as many guys as possible. That's a big deal because that's a coach saying, I want to be there to help people heal. I don't want to say how many years, 20 years after I coached them. That's pious. We shared our hearts with Jesus. He loves us for it. He loves Jamie. He loves his family. All this happened in the middle of an Omaha parish. I'm sure Mary Arquin was saying, what? How did Pius take over our parish? No place but Pius offers family like this, a family that knows it must heal together, that knows the broken heart is its gift. Don't take this for granted. The people in your choirs, the people in the play, go see Oz, the people in your clubs, the people on your teams, the people in your classrooms, the people in the bleachers next to you will be with you the rest of your life, and they are brothers and sisters willing to go into the tomb with you. And so will Jesus, because he loves your broken heart. Thank you.